new boats replace those which have been surrendered to the three great lakes of the area. There is a reason and logic to the place and a wondrous harmony. In Icewind Dale, it all makes sense. The population of 10 towns grows and shrinks, but mostly remains stable to that which the region can support. This is an important concept in the valuation of the self. For far too many people seem oblivious to the implications of this most basic truth. The world continues outside of their personal experience. Oh, perhaps they do not consciously express such a doubt of this obvious truth, but I have met more than one who has postulated that this existence is a dream, his dream, and the rest of us, therefore, are mere components within the reality of his creation. Indeed, I have met many who act that way, whether they have thought it out to that level of detail or not. I speak, of course, of empathy, or in the cases stated, of the lack thereof. We are in constant struggle, the self and the community, where in our hearts we need to decide where one line ends and another begins. For some, this is a matter of religion, the unquestioned edicts of a professed god or gods, but for most, I would hope, it is a realization of the basic truth that the community, the society, is a needed component in the preservation of the self, both materially and spiritually. I have considered this many times before and professed my belief in community. Indeed, it was just that belief that stood me up again when I was beaten down with grief, when I led my newfound companions out of Neverwinter to serve the greater good of a worthy place called Port Last. This, to me, is not a difficult choice. To serve the community is to serve the self. Even Artemis and Treri, that most cynical of creatures, could hardly disguise the sense of satisfaction he felt when we pushed the sea devils back under the surf for the good of the goodly folk of Port Last. As I consider my own roots and the various cultures through which I have passed, however, there is a more complicated question. What is the role of the community to the self? And what of the smaller communities within the larger? What are their roles or their responsibilities? Surely common defense is paramount to the whole, but the very idea of community needs to go deeper than that. What farming community would survive if the children were not taught the ways of the fields and cattle? What dwarf homeland would thrive through the centuries if the dwarflings were not tutored in the ways of stone and metal? What band of elves could dance in the forest for centuries untold if not for the training given the children, the ways of the stars and the winds? And there remain many tasks, too large for any one man or woman or family, critical to the prosperity and security of any town or city. No one man could build the wall around Luskin, or the docks of Baldur's Gate, or the great archways and wide boulevards of Waterdeep, or the soaring cathedrals of Silvery Moon. No one church either. And so these smaller groupings within the larger societies need to contribute. For the good of all, whether citizens of their particular flock or group or not. But what then of the concentration of power that might accompany the improvements and the hierarchical regimentation that may result within any given community? In societies such as a dwarf clan, this is settled through the bloodlines and proper heirs. But in a great city of mixed heritage and various cultures, the allocation of power is certainly less definitive. I have witnessed lords willing to allow their peasants to starve while food rots in their own larders, piled deep and far too plentiful for one house to possibly consume. I have seen, as with Prisoner's Carnival in Luskin, magistrates who use the law as a weapon for their own ends, and even in Waterdeep, whose lords are considered among the most beneficent in all the world, lavish palaces look down upon hovels and shanties, or orphaned children shivering in the street. Once again, and to my surprise, I look to 10 towns as my example, for in this place, where the population remains fairly steady, if the individuals constantly change, there is logical and reasoned continuity. Here the 10 communities remain distinct and choose among their respective leaders through various means, and those leaders have a voice at the common council. The irony of Icewind Dale is that these communities, full of solitary folk, often numbering among their citizens many who fled the law or some gang, using 10 towns as a last refuge, full of those who could not, supposedly, live among the civilized societies, are in truth among the most cooperative places I have ever known. The individual fishing boats on Mare de Walden might vie fiercely for favored spots, but when the winter sets in, none in 10 towns starve while others feast heartily. None in 10 towns freeze in the empty street when there is room near a hearth, and there is always such room to be found. Likely it is the ferocity of the land, where all understand that numbers alone keep them safe from the yetis and the goblin kin and giant kind. And that is the point of community, common need and common good, the strength of numbers, the tenderness of a helping hand, the ability to work as one to attain greater heights for all, the widening of horizons beyond one's own perspective and one's own family, the enrichment of life itself. Oh, but there are many who would not agree with me, who view the responsibilities to the community, be it in tithe of food, wealth, or time, as too cumbersome or infringing upon their personal liberties, which I find too oft defined as personal desires and greed buried in the disguise of prettier words. To them, I can only insist that the ultimate law succeeds the perceived gain. What good is your gold if your friends will not lift you when you have fallen? How long lived our memory of you when you are gone? Because in the end, that is the only measure. In the end, when life's last flickers fade, all that remains is memory. Richness in the final measure is not weighed in gold coins, but in the number of people you have touched, the tears of those who mourn your passing, and the fond remembrances of those who continue to celebrate your life. Drizzt Do'Urden. Chapter 7. Arar's Boy. The Year of the Third Circle, 1472, D.R. Citadel, Felbar. Murgatroyd Muttonchop Stonehammer sighed and pulled at his thick black beard, tugging hard enough to flex the muscles in his large arm. He gritted his teeth and pulled his beard back the other way. It was not an uncommon gesture from the old fighter, who was indeed very old, the oldest dwarf in Citadel Felbar, as far as anyone could tell. Muttonchops had lived an adventurous life, had fought with King Emerus against Obuld and the orcs, and had even been in